Happy Monday, NFL fans. It is another edition of the Between the Tackles podcast. I'm Joe, Manish and Burge alongside as well. We had a implication-packed Sunday of football. First things first, boys, how we doing? It's the holiday season. We're getting really close to Christmas here. You guys feeling the cheer for all the year?
I don't know about feeling the cheer, man. I've been so busy over the last couple of weeks, but I did find some time to catch all of that football today. And it did not disappoint.
Yeah, I only get gift cards and online stuff now, so it's not heavy lifting. And my son is too young to really understand Christmas, so I could give him like a paper towel roll, and he'd be happy for hours.
Oh yeah.
but no, I'm with Burge. This is what a weird, not only Sunday, but this entire weekend, such bizarre stuff, and it's fitting that at least on Sunday. A wild weekend was capped by an unbelievably crazy finish in Detroit.
It's funny. Every time, Manish, you said the thing about your son and like you could give him basically anything and he'd be like pumped about it. I remember like that just jogged my memory for the first like 3 or 4 years of my life until I was like a legitimate toddler. I guess my like thing that I carried around and like my emotional support toy was a soup ladle. And I just carried a soup ladle around fucking a plastic soup ladle. And I guess one day I left it in the grocery store and I was literally like trying to jump out of the car on the highway to like go back to the grocery store and like get my soup ladle.
It's funny you talk about that because my twins love it. They it's not really a comfort toy for them. They just walk around the house whacking everything in sight with it, including me. So I can sympathize with that a little bit there, Joe.
I wonder what I miss that soup ladle. But anyway, we started recording a couple minutes early because we had to catch a couple minutes late because we had to catch the end of the Lions Steelers game. Another touchdown on a fumble or another score on a fumble to end a game. But this one was negated by a penalty. Back and forth game. I think the Steelers showed some real moxie hanging on in this one. I think the Lions, I think their porous defense comes back to bite them again. But I'll throw it to you, Manish, because I know you had a winner and lose. I think you had a winner in this game.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been wondering who would emerge from that division between the Ravens and the Steelers. And as of this recording, the Ravens haven't played yet. They're playing Sunday night against the Patriots, of course. But what a wild game. There were explosive plays by Pittsburgh. By both of their running backs, Jalen Warren had 240-plus-yard touchdown runs. Kenneth Gainwell had one of the best catches you'll ever see on a 45-yard touchdown reception. And it looked early in the fourth quarter when the Lions were down 22-10 that it was curtains for them. But they somehow managed to rally despite looking extremely unimpressive for the better part of that game offensively. And you know, the end of that game in which a touchdown on a lateral from Amon-Ra St. Brown to Jared Goff off a pass completion was negated because of Amon-Ra St. Brown's pass interference call against Jalen Ramsey was one of the wildest finishes I've ever seen. I actually did not know the rule that on an offensive pass interference on the final play of the game, in this case, fourth and goal, you do not get to replay the down, even though the Lions scored a touchdown. It's game over. And somehow the Steelers escape. Huge win. They moved to 9-6. They're, you know, in great position here to win the AFC North and make the playoffs under Mike Tomlin. But just a wild game, an improbable finish. For the longest time, I thought the Steelers were in control and the Lions had no shot. And then somehow it looked like the Lions were going to pull it out, but they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that the Steelers are in this position. No secret how I felt about the Steelers all year. And, you know, couple this with the win last week in Miami where they outright dominated and ruined one of my picks for last week. You know, it says a lot about them. And, you know, they ran the ball incredibly well in this game. I think over 230 yards on the ground between Jalen Warren, Kenny Gainwell, just an incredible performance. And that last drive by the Lions, holy flag happy. The flags were dude everywhere at the end of that game.
None of these games have to be on the level, dude. It's getting to the point where it's just like every single flag seems like it has an agenda behind it, dude.
It kind of does, but I mean, if you look at the replay on the flags that were called, like they were legitimate penalties. Like, I don't know, maybe they swallow the whistles at some points, like you see happen in a lot of the other sports where they just put them away and let the teams just play, get away with a little bit. I mean, even the push off by Amon-Ra St. Brown in the end zone, yeah, it was a pass interference, but like, was it? I think Jalen Ramsey kind of sold that a little bit, the way he kind of flailed back a little bit on it. I don't know. It was just an absolutely wild finish, like you said, Manish. I also did not know that rule. I figured they were going to play again. To be honest, I was even shocked that they even ruled that a touchdown to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't think he got in.
Yeah, I didn't either, to be honest. Two things that are noteworthy. One is I can't believe the Lions were in this position, given the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery combined for 16 yards on 11 carries.
Yeah,
amazing. The run game was completely non-existent. They were one-dimensional from the start. The 49ers benefit from this loss by Detroit, and I believe the Bears as well. I think both those teams clinch playoff spots, probably going to make the playoffs anyway, but they made it official. They're in because the Lions are out, and it's unbelievable. The Lions, you know, last several years have been, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC. Eagles, you know, success in the postseason notwithstanding, but it looks like, you know, they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't know if it's official yet, but losing today certainly hurts their chances.
So I want to keep it in this game. I want to keep it in Detroit for my winner. You were talking, I think you just brought it up there. Manish, the Lions, the playoff picture on the, you brought up the AFC side, but the picture on the NFC side for the Lions, I don't know. I just feel like they keep drowning, dude, in their own division, in the conference. I don't know. It feels like we'll get to the Saturday games in a second here, but it just seems like the Lions, I don't want to call them a flash in the pan, but maybe their Super Bowl hopes were a flash in the pan there, because I just don't see where you go from here. They're not bad enough to get a top pick to try to go get a quarterback, which is, I think, eventually what they're really going to need. I think that defense is broken. I think you need a lot of picks and you need to build from the middle on that defense. I don't know. It feels like they really peaked and they really missed their window the last 2 years where they were incredibly banged up. But yeah, I have them as a loser today. Juxtapose that to what the Bears did on Saturday, what the Lions look like now, where they're kind of descending, and a couple other teams in that division are still ascending, which I think the Bears being the number one. They have the coach quarterback combo. They have a lot of things going for them. So I just think it's getting scary in Detroit for the Lions. So I had them as my loser this week. I don't know if you guys have anything else on the Lions.
No, I mean, I'll just say a team that was going to be my loser for the week benefited pretty big time from that loss by the Lions today. My loser of this week is Green Bay. You know, you kind of touched a quick hit on the Packers-Bears game from Saturday night. Another absolutely wild finish. A lot went on in this game Saturday night. I was kind of stupid. I stayed up and watched the whole thing and had to get up at 5 o'clock this morning to go to work. Needless to say, I was dragging to get to work this morning because it was just a phenomenal finish to that game. I mean, the obvious number one point to take out of it is the health of Jordan Love. I mean, he took a pretty vicious hit in this game, left for concussion protocol. I saw some words floating around in the Twitter sphere about, you know, whether or not it was a cheap shot or a dirty hit. I don't necessarily feel that way. It was absolutely a penalty. But I don't know if there was necessarily any intent behind that hit, just given that how it goes in a bang bang type play with, you know, Love lowering his head. I forget the guy on the Bears, what his name was, that Booker, I think his name was, made the hit, and it just was kind of a perfect storm, as you will, for that injury to occur. But, you know, he goes out, Malik Willis comes in for the Green Bay Packers, and let's just say, like, they just took off right where they left off. I mean, honestly, Malik Willis came in, and you wouldn't even think that Jordan Love was out there playing at the start of this game. You'd think Malik Willis was the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. They were doing – he was doing things with his legs. He was accurate throwing the ball. I thought for 3.5 quarters in this game, Matt LaFleur was absolutely pantsing Ben Johnson in the coaching department in this game. And, you know, it all turned at a dime at the end of this game. It all turned. Romeo Doubs bobbles the onside kick. Bears recover late. Caleb Williams ties it. And then, you know, turnover in overtime. And, Here we go. A beautiful throw from Caleb Williams to ice that game in overtime to DJ Moore. But yeah, the Packers lose some, you know, there's a big divisional implications in this game. The Chicago Bears obviously take a step forward, kind of assert themselves, where Green Bay kind of falls back. So yeah, Green Bay is definitely going to be my loser for the week.
Yeah, look, if you could script how to choke away a game, you would do exactly what Green Bay did in those final 5 minutes. You're up by 10 points, and Romeo Doubs, who's on the quote-unquote hands team, a guy who had caught a touchdown pass earlier in the game, can't handle an onside kick. And I think statistically, the return rate on recovering an onside kick this year was 8%. So the odds were heavily against the Bears. And you can't, you know, discount that, because it actually did happen in the real world. It was a turnover by Green Bay. But I cannot, just to flip it on the Chicago side, I cannot remember a worse 11-4 team. And I know Ben Johnson's done a great job turning around the franchise. He should be in consideration along with Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year. I get all that. But when you watch the Bears outside of that 250-plus yard rushing performance they had in Philadelphia a few weeks back, they're just not that impressive. And there's a reason why I thought the Packers would control this game. Obviously, I didn't know Jordan Love was going to get hurt. But even without Jordan Love, a double-digit lead with 5 minutes to go, and you blow it. And I hate saying lucky, because you create your own luck. But if I am objective about the Chicago Bears, I see them as a terrible, and it sounds weird, it's an oxymoron, a terrible 11-4 team. They are, to me, going to be had by one of these NFC West teams in the first round of the playoffs. They are not a real threat, and you give them credit for what happened the other night, but that is as fluky a win as you can imagine.
You know, it's just crazy to think that type of fluky win happens on the biggest stage for them. And, you know, I've been kind of higher on the Bears throughout this year than I think both of you combined have been. I'm trending your way with it, Manish, because for 3.5 quarters of that game, I thought that they were outplayed, vastly outcoached, and albeit with a backup quarterback. And it took everything to fall right in line for them to actually be in a position to win that game. And I got to give credit to Caleb Williams again for that throw in overtime. Unbelievable throw, an unbelievable catch through the hit by DJ Moore. You know, at the end of the day, when a team decides to choke like that, you know, the other team deserves to win, right?
First, we might have to be careful with that one, because the Chicago Bears are one spot ahead of the Patriots in DVOA rankings this year. But yeah, let's get down to our next game here. Burge, I think you had a winner in the Jacksonville-Denver game there.
Yeah. Jacksonville, huge winner today for me. Going into Mile High, and not only really beating the Broncos, I would argue that they dominated the Broncos. They win by two scores. I felt that, you know, anytime we've lauded about the Denver Broncos defense on the podcast, saying that they're the best, if not top two best defenses in the NFL. And Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohn, and that offense put up 34 points on them on the road. And Bo Nix and the Denver offense kind of came back down to earth after, you know, last week's four touchdown performance. And they flat out weren't really able to get it done. Bo Nix didn't really look all that comfortable back there, in my opinion. But Trevor Lawrence, on the other hand, was taking hits, was doing things with his legs, was accurate. And, you know, I'm buying into the Jacksonville hype going into the playoffs for the AFC. Is, you know, we've talked about how the AFC is so wide open and how all of these teams really have a chance to catch another team on a bad day, and that they're going to, you know, end up advancing in the playoffs. I think Jacksonville is right there. They're not fraudulent to me. And it's going to be fascinating to see where that AFC South ends up at the end of the year, because the Houston Texans winning a close one against a bad team today, and the Raiders keeping pace one game back of Jacksonville for the lead in that division. But, you know, for Jacksonville also with this win, keeps the door open for their outside chances at the number one seed in the AFC in the bye week. So massive winners for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think they're the biggest winner of the week, to be perfectly honest with you. To go into Denver, placed it, we said was you know, extremely difficult to go into and win against a team that hasn't lost since September. You know, Bo Nix coming off probably his best game of the season last year. And Trevor Lawrence, look, I got to give the guy credit. I think I said a few weeks back that every time I kind of think that Trevor Lawrence sucks, he pulls me back in with a good performance. Last week, you know, had six touchdowns. And then I said to myself, they played like a Division II college team in the New York Jets, so those numbers shouldn't count. But he played exceptional today. Mm-hmm. Just an exceptional, turnover-free game. And, we talk about we have talked about Jacoby Myers before the season. We talked about Brian Thomas. Well, Parker Washington absolutely destroyed one of the best, if not the best secondary in the NFL. It was really a masterclass by Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen, the Jaguars offense as a whole. I was just so impressed. And I have been highly critical of Jacksonville and whether they're, quote unquote, real or not. But this proves to me that they have a legitimate chance to go and make it out of the AFC. And what this week proves, Bert, you touched on the Texans. The Texans, their offense is great. The defense sucks. I mean, the offense, the defense is great. CJ Stroud is, he sucks. I mean, he absolutely sucks. I know he's been on somewhat of a roll the last few weeks, but I watched most of that game today or on Sunday, and the offense is completely anemic against a team that just got shut out a week or so ago in Philadelphia in the Raiders. I'm a believer in their defense. I know defense travels. I'm not a believer in CJ Stroud in a big moment, and I'm starting to become a believer in Trevor Lawrence in a big moment. So I just think this AFC is so wide open. We haven't even mentioned the Patriots, who are playing on Sunday night as we record. There are legitimately five or six teams that can make a viable claim to coming out of the AFC and going to the Super Bowl.
Real quick, Joe, before you go, one stat from this game.
Don't you take it from me.
Go ahead.
You got me first.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Denver has the best red zone defense.
Oh, never mind. We're good.
Okay, we're good. Denver has the best red zone defense in the NFL. And this week, Jacksonville, 4 out of 5 in the red zone.
Pretty good.
4 touchdowns and a field goal in the red zone. So absolutely pants that Denver's defense.
And
My favorite word of the day, pants.
Pants, dude. Thank God I'm wearing undies. But Manish, you touched on Trevor Lawrence a little bit, and I think my belief in the Jacksonville Jaguars is coming from his play. We talked about how this role, they've had a 6-game winning streak here, and I think we talked about a couple times how that role that they've gotten on here is they started running the ball and getting the running game going and getting their two-headed, maybe even three-headed monster. I know Tootin was out today, but they had their running backs going. But when Trevor Lawrence gets going like this, they're an unbelievably well-balanced team. They can run the ball, they can throw the ball, and they can play defense. One stat that I was going to bring up, Burge, and another thing that I think is a good telltale sign, dude, we're late in the season. It's cover your ears, mom. It's nut cutting time in the NFL. It's deep in the stretch run. You're playing the best team, the best defensive unit in the league on the road, and you go 5 for 5 for 130 yards on third down versus the best defense in the league. So, yeah, stats are great. Six touchdowns in a game is great. I think any quarterback can do that. But that was a joke.
Yeah, I got it.
But no, I think his ability to be efficient and not turn the ball over in crunch time has been his biggest improvement. I think the Jekyll and Hyde nature of Trevor Lawrence's game kind of mirrored the Jekyll and Hyde nature of the Jaguars. But now that he's gotten the turnovers under control, he's getting a lot better. And the important downs, like third and fourth down today, 5 for 5 on third down, and also putting in like video game numbers on top of it. I don't know, man. I just think there's a lot of good going for the Jaguars right now, and it's the Trevor Lawrence's ascension to what's could seemingly look like a top 5-6 quarterback, I think, is the number one reason. But yeah, I'll keep talking here since everybody loves that. We'll get to the last game. A game, if you circled this game this week at the beginning of the season, you thought cheap tickets, maybe I could take a client. Like, you thought maybe we can sit really close to the field because there'll be 9 people in the stands. You're thinking, hey, let's go to Charlotte a couple days early and tie one the F off. And who cares if we even make it to the game because tickets were $35. No, this was one of the most pivotal matchups in the week. We had the Panthers versus the Bucks. The Panthers come out victorious. And I have the Panthers as my winner. They're my winner for the week. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is we talk about ahead of schedule. We talk about there's all these frigging terms, but I think the number one term that we need to use with the Panthers right now is they're relevant again. people give a crap again. They're in the running for their division. They're a top four seed. They might host an effing, they might host a playoff game. After giving them crap at the beginning of the season, oh, they let Baker Mayfield go, who was an MVP candidate at that time. Damn, did he turn into a pumpkin. They let Sam Darnold go. The Seahawks are the number one seed in the NFC. And everything was going bad. It looked like, I think Andy Dalton was taking some snaps earlier in the year. Tech McMillan looked up and down. Now he's one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. Bryce Young's threw for 400 yards last week. He has a good game this week. I just think there's just so many, the Bears, they have a great record. They don't look great. Like, I don't think any of that matters because of where the Panthers are coming from the depths of despair. And I think they're a huge winner this weekend with this divisional win, them going to the fourth seed in the conference, potentially hosting a playoff game. I just think there's so many positives in this game. And Jonathan Stewart, if you're out there somewhere, man, I hope you're listening.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said it. Early in the season, we were crowning the Bucs. We're saying they're one of the elite teams in the league. Baker Mayfield's an MVP.
MVP candidate. Yep, dude.
Exactly.
Crashing down.
And, you know, we saw the Panthers get blown out by the Patriots. We saw them get blown out by the Bills. You're like thinking, this team is really going to be just what they are. But you're right. Dave Canales has that team playing. I think that, you know, they're going to see the Buccaneers due to the scheduling stuff and the last game of the season, which ultimately is going to be for the division more than likely. It's great. It's great for that fan base, especially for the criticism that they took last season with Bryce Young, where he was last year. And he looks like a different guy. You know, you give him time, give him the right coach, and something can happen. He's come a long way from getting benched last year. Where everybody was already labeling him a bust. You know, the Panthers gave up a lot of capital to bring him in. Maybe something is finally starting to click. You mentioned Tet McMillan finally, you know, consistently showing up. And, you know, they ran the ball well today with their two-headed monster. We talked to Jonathan Stewart about, you know, the focus of it last week, what we wanted to see the Panthers do. They averaged over five yards a carry in this game. It's great to see. I'll say it again. I got laughed at last week when I said it with Manish. I'm a believer in the Panthers. I believe that they're going to make some noise. They have a real good opportunity to make some noise in the playoffs, maybe sneak a playoff win if they're hosting one. Let's see where this goes. Let's see where this goes the last couple weeks of the season.
All right. Well, if the season ended today, which it doesn't, you know, in all fairness, they would be hosting the Rams. So, you know, I know they beat the Berlin here. Good luck beating them again.
That's not going to happen.
Weird game. A seesaw game. Yeah, I know the yards per carry, you know, for the two running backs in Carolina wasn't bad, but they only combined for 56 yards, so largely a non-factor. And then when you look on the flip side, the Buccaneers really controlled this game. They ran for nearly 170 yards, and because of that, they had a nine-minute time of possession. When you see those numbers, you think, okay, well, how many touchdowns did Tampa win by? But they had eight penalties, which negated some of that good stuff that I just mentioned, And Bryce Young, as you said, didn't wow the world, didn't throw a pick, very, very efficient. And that was enough. The late interception by Baker Mayfield obviously sealed the deal. Otherwise, they probably could have set up for a potential game-tying field goal. But just a seesaw game, and as you said, Joe, to start this whole conversation off, at the beginning of the year, maybe even midway through the year, or maybe even last week, you'd think, all right, 2 500 teams, who cares? But because of the dynamics at play in the NFC South, it was a monster game. Now, they will play each other again in a couple weeks. So it's not as if the Panthers can pop some champagne just yet, but a big win in their franchise history of late. And when we had Jonathan Stewart on last week, he outlined some keys of the game, talked about Tet McMillan, who was exceptional in this game. The running backs just – I agreed with what Jonathan Stewart said last week, which is that the running backs are really the engine and the heartbeat of this team. But again, really a non-factor. And part of that was because of the time of possession advantage that Tampa had. Carolina only ran 54 plays, which is an extremely small amount of plays in a game. So they made the most of their opportunities. A gritty win, a great win for Dave Canales, for Bryce Young in his career at this point. And I'm with you, Birch. I would like to see them get into the postseason. Just to see what they could do. I would hope that the the seeding configuration is a little bit different, because I do believe if the Rams have another crack at them, they're going to make them pay. But we'll see over the next 2 weeks what happens.
And it's funny, we're giving this Panthers love fest right now, which I'll break out the Crisco for the Panthers, dude. That's a likable team. I think Bryce Young's a likable player. Yeah. Tet McMillan, likable player. But the NFL playoff predictor still gives the Bucs the edge, 58-42% to make the playoffs over the Panthers. I don't think one of those teams is going to be making the wild card seeding based on how strong the NFC is record-wise. So I think they're both vying for a playoff spot through obviously winning their division. And I think that one game down the stretch and then their conference seeding after that will kind of be determined in that last game versus the Bucs. Yeah,
the Panthers have the Seahawks. The Bucs have the Dolphins and then the Panthers. So, these teams are going to be tied going into that.
We did this whole thing, and the Panthers are going to be fucking 8-9 at the end of the year. Great.
They're going to play on week 18 for the division. They could be 9-8.
Yeah. You never
keep
know,
pounding,
dude.
Keep pounding, guys. Yeah, keep pounding.
Keep pounding, dude. Charlotte, what a great city. I want to touch on real quick the Chargers and Cowboys game. God effing darn it, dude. The Chargers look scary when they have it all rolling together. Herbert was rolling with his legs and his arm. I think they got all their pass catchers and all their running backs healthy. They have Vidal and Hampton as the two-headed monster in the backfield. I don't know. That team with everybody pulled. I think this is a classic. I don't know. Obviously, you guys are older than me, but you guys obviously remember like their early to mid-2000s Chargers teams that were absolutely freaking loaded. They would win 13, 14 games every year and then choke into the playoffs. I don't know about the second half of that, but, dude, the Chargers are talented, and when they have it all going in the right direction, dropping 34 at Jerry World, I think – I don't know. That was a fun time. It was a fun time watching the Chargers offense today.
Dude, yeah, they played really well. Dallas defense kind of reverted to the early season form when they were a sieve. You know, they had tightened it up for about a 4-6 week stretch, but they didn't have anything to play for. You know, I was wrong. I thought that when the lights are bright, the Cowboys shrink, and when it doesn't matter, they light it up. But that obviously wasn't the case. Hard to keep the motivation up, I suppose. Huge win, as you said, Joe, for the Chargers, four in a row. They've got the Texans next week and then Denver. So two tough games to end the season. We'll see, what they're made of. Maybe, in a strange way, maybe they are the team that we thought they were 3 months ago entering the season, legitimate Super Bowl contenders. But they're, it's not going to be easy over the next couple of weeks. Let's see how things unfold and kind of where they shake out in the NFL AFC playoff seedings.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Joe, I totally agree with you when you say when they're rolling, they're rolling. I was one who picked them today to win in the standings, 3-0, by the way. We'll talk about that on the next episode. We're going to have some fun with that one.
Can I just say one thing? I think that Burge has got this down to an art form. He'll just, like, in the middle of his analysis be like, you guys know that I was really high on the Bears. Picked this team. No, it's an art form. I got to be honest with you. It's very difficult to seamlessly weave in shameless plugs, while it's analyzing something.
Hey,
some people say it's like watching Picasso paint or Michelangelo carve, but this is kind of like watching Van Gogh cut his ear off. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'll do it. I'll do it when I do good, and I'll do it when I do bad too.
It's an admirable trait. I am envious of your ability to weave in pats on the back as you're discussing football games.
Well, we don't have any pats on the back to weave in, Manish. I think that's why it's easier for him, because he has the actual fucking good shit to weave in. We just sit here and take our freaking lumps.
Yeah. Well, the Chargers have a tougher schedule than the Broncos. I'm going to say that race and that division is not over in the AFC West with the Chargers and the Broncos. The Chargers got to play the Broncos in the last game of the season. So another situation where the division could be on the line. The one seed could be on the line. So definitely something to watch. They do also have to play the Texans, which is not going to be an easy matchup for that Charger offense. The Broncos have it a little bit easier. They have to play the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the Chargers, the Chiefs are going to be on their third quarterback at this point with Gardner Minshew going down today with a potential torn ACL. So it's going to be a fascinating watch. We said it going into December with these games, how many good matchups remain, with a lot of playoff implications. And the AFC West, the AFC South, I mean, no matter where you look, I mean, there's going to be some fantastic football matchups over the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, look, I know you guys want to get out of here. I don't want to give any spoilers away about this Sunday night game that's currently going on. Two quick winners, Raiders, Giants, both lost. Both are the top two picks right now if the season ended in the NFL draft. Big showdown in Vegas, Giants at Raiders next week. I cannot wait to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I did. This is like this is by far my favorite time of the year. It's like holiday season. We got the new year coming up. Every single football game that you put on TV from college, high school, JUCO, 1AA, NFC, AFC, everything means something. It's so much better to watch sports when they mean something. But that'll be it for us, the boys on the Between the Tackle podcast. I'm Joe Bergemini. Thank God.
I think Joe saw the early score in the Sunday night game and got a little flustered.
He got fucking rattled, dude. As long as that's a Derrick Henry touchdown, we're good. But I'm Joe Bergemini alongside. We'll catch you on Thursday. Goodbye.